Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful. because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient, nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Your patience, don't you be late. I'm here to tell you about the good news. There's something about the path that makes you sure. Wisdom has built this house now. Integrity will bring your pride out. If you know how to pray the situation out. Your folks together for some church, y'all. Some good music and prayer service won't hurt y'all. Even if you don't believe in a preacher, it's bound to be a few things he can teach you.
Yeah! family. And you don't know what they've been going through. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that prayer.
Encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning for another Tuesday morning beginning, and he has brought us up unto this present time, and we are grateful, grateful unto him this day. For all he has done already. I am a little tired this morning, but nonetheless, I'm pressing on in him, for greater is he said, greater, hallelujah. So I'm trusting greater this morning, and we are going to talk about today the purpose of Philippians, the book of Philippians, the purpose, the early church, and the writer of it was Apostle Paul, and we know his history. He was killing Christians. I often called him a serial killer, because he was killing Christians and beating them and putting them in jail and doing all kinds of things, because he really did believe that he was doing God a favor. He thought he was serving God in the right way. He was dedicated. And Paul was a Roman, and a Roman soldier. He had rank in the Roman military, and he was going to fulfill the laws of the Romans, you know, and the emperors, those that were in charge, you know, what they thought about it. And that's what Paul was doing. And on his way to do that very same thing, to carry out orders with cruelty and, you know, to torture the saints of God and all of this, he was on his way to a city called Damascus. And on his way there, God showed up. The scripture said, knocked him off the horse, blinded it, you know, shined a light on him, and he asked him, his name was Saul at that time. He hadn't gotten the name Paul yet. He was Saul, and he asked him, why persecuted thou? And he was kind of confused a little bit. Who I'm persecuting? You know, what I'm doing is for you. And he told him who he was persecuting, my people, you know. And after he proved to him, and they say that he was with some more Roman soldiers, and they were standing around, you know, in shock. And when he got through, God got through dealing with him and everything, he sent them on down to Ananias. And he allowed Ananias to know that Saul was coming. And Ananias was asking him, well, Lord, why are you sending him to me? You know he's killing your people. But God let him know, you know, just go on and trust me. Because Saul was no longer Saul, and he was not the same. And so that's what's got to happen to us, the believers today. We got to not remain the same. But we're new creatures in Christ, and we got to show the evidence, even in our thinking. And in our thinking, if we show a difference, and we have a difference, it'll show. Yeah, it'll show that we are no longer the same. So what I found out, the purpose of the Philippians, there's no need to assume up front that there must have been only one purpose in the writing of Philippians. In fact, as we read the letter, several objectives seem to be in the mind of the apostle. First, it is clear that Paul wanted the church to know how things were going with him in his imprisonment. He was locked up. And when we read this morning, Philippians 1:12-26, and what his plans were, should he be released, and over in Philippians chapter 2:23-24, it says that there appears to have been some discord and division in the church. And so the apostle writes to encourage humility with a view towards unity. And that's what we got to be today. Yeah, we got to be in unity. Listen, if ever there was a time to pray and to come together, it is today. And just like Apostle Paul had a purpose, you know, what's your purpose for the believer? Because he said in his word, this is how the world will know that we are of him, for the love we have one for another. So what we got to do is come together in love. Don't be against each other. But, and I don't mean just here on Jesus in the Morning. I mean other believers everywhere. We got to pray, come together, study that Bible, yeah, and walk according to the word of God. So he went through some phases. The first thing he wanted to clear up to the church was how things were going with him while he was in prison. The second thing he said, there appeared to have been some discord and division in the church. So he wrote to encourage them and told them, humility, we got to be humble with a view toward unity. Yeah. The third thing is the pastoria theologian writes to head off the negative teaching and consequences of certain false teachers. He wanted them to know, look, there are false teachers out here. We preach this gospel of Jesus, and they preaching another gospel. But you remember what you was taught, and you was taught the gospel of Jesus. So that was his third thing. And the fourth thing, Paul wrote to commend Timothy to the church, as well as to give the church a report about the health and plans. And the fifth thing, Paul also wrote to thank the church for their concern for him and the gifts they had given while he was in prison. So these were the purposes of the book of Philippians. Yeah, Paul was trying to keep them together, teach them the truth, and keep them on one accord with each other. Yeah, and let me tell you something today. And many times it makes me feel sad. But I go on in Jesus' name because it's in him that I'm out here. It's in him. The reason I want others to be blessed, it's in him that I know we need each other. And many times I see the separation. I see that people they go to church or even come here. They get what they can get, and that's it. It's not about living for God. It's not about getting it right with God. It's about getting what I can get. You know, I'm hurting. I'm going through or whatever the case may be. And many I have seen come here, and I see the changes. When they first began to come, they wasn't like they are now. They have more strength. They're leaning and depending on Jesus more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They praying. They remembering what his word says concerning them. They're reading their Bibles. Yeah, many. But this is what we all got to do, get on one accord with it. Get on one accord with prayer. Yeah, get on one accord with the word of God. Pray asking him for wisdom and understanding, praying, asking him to help me to apply your word to my daily life. Because without you, I can do nothing. And because of you, my life now is hid in you. And see, what many don't understand, that if you came to Jesus, you asked him to come into your heart and live forever, your walk now is with him. It's no longer with your family. It's no longer with the world. You've been dedicated to him now. And the more you seek him, the better you're going to get. I'm not saying the trials won't come, because you've heard me say, I can't tell you this is an easy way, but it's doable. So now your whole attitude is seeking God concerning everything, waiting on him, learning about him, learning about him through his word, learning about him through prayer. And this is why he was sharing with the Philippians over in Philippi. So So why was Paul writing to the Philippians? One of Paul's purposes in writing this letter was to express gratitude for the affection and financial assistance the saints in Philippi had extended to him during his second missionary journey and his imprisonment in Rome. It also asks this question. Well, let's go back to this. He was grateful for what the saints of God was doing for him while he was locked up. You know, they sent him gifts and they sent him money to help him out while he was locked up. And he continued to have mission after mission after free or locked up, he had a mission. Free or locked up, he continued to work. And it may come that way for us soon, sooner than you think, that if we're believers, we'll be locked up. If we're believers, we may die. Yeah, but must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir, Brother Louis, in Acts 9 and 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" This is what Saul said to God. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick." Yeah, Paul had to surrender after doing all of that to people. And that's why he says he's the least. He's often said that. He's the least, yeah, because of what he had did to the people of God. But what is Paul saying in Philippians? Paul exhorts that his readers to remain steadfast in their faith and imitate the humility of Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Yeah, some believe that that this much quoted passage was taken from an early Christian hymn. Yeah, because he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Christ did. And that's the kind of obedience we got to have unto God. If they kill me, I'm yet going to obey you. If they say they're going to kill me, I'm yet going to obey you. If they're locking us up, I'm yet going to obey you. Because he's got the last word. And even in all of this, he taught Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul constantly got the teachings of God and shared with the church, shared with the people of God. Yeah, so that we could remain humble, so that we don't get the big head, and so that we're not out here bringing Christ to shame. Because some of this stuff I see today, I know it bring him to shame. It's not what he was talking about or inspired the apostles and the disciples to write so that we could learn. That's not what he was talking about. But how many know G-O-D, the word God sells, J-E-S-U-S, the word Jesus, it sells. B-I-B-L-E, Bible, it sells. You think I'm joking? How many times can you buy a cross? How many places can you buy a cross from? How many places can you buy a Bible from? And many people, when they hear about God, they become convicted. But they're not convicted in the right way because they want to pay the preacher to do everything for them. But this is a suffering way, and we have to go through for ourselves. Can no preacher stand for me? He can stand with me, but I got to stand for myself. I got to put my time in for me. I got to put the work in for me. Payday is coming after a while. I got to have work that won't burn up when I stand before God. It's not about accepting him and sitting on the church pew or looking at Christian television. It's much more to being saved. It's much more to believing in God than those things. Yeah, the church is a place where we can go and praise and worship, fellowship with one another, give prayer and receive prayer. Yeah. But outside of those four walls, there's a lot to be done. And this is why the world has turned the way that it is. Because it was only a few watchmen on the wall watching. Others begin to get greedy. Now they're afraid. They're cowards. They're scared to stand up for the truth. You say something about something and see how people cower down. Now put out there, God gonna bless you today no matter what come your way. You're blessed this day. Oh, you're gonna get all kind of hits on that. But you put out there, should a Christian have tattoos? And watch how many people say something about it. None, almost. Maybe two or three. Because they thought, we don't want no conflict. Well, who you serve? Jesus, he wasn't fighting. He went in the temple and turned it out. And he let them know, y'all trying to turn my father's house into a den of thieves? His house should be called a house of prayer. His house is the house of prayer. It's nowhere where they're selling CDs and movies and all that stuff from the pulpit. Are you selling stuff in the house? You're just like them. You most want God to turn it out. But there are so many things we've forgotten because we get caught up into everyday life of the world, of the natural. See, we're so trying to protect this natural, to keep from feeling something, to keep from going through something. But we got to do what he did. We got to do what Jesus did, because when he come back, when he see himself in you, he know you belong to him. But if he don't see himself in you, he don't know you. That's why he can say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because he don't see what he was doing in you. He don't see the humbleness. He don't see the love. He don't see put God first. He see put my flesh first and then I drag God along after a while. He see you done put God in a box, you think, and put him in the corner and you call him out when you need him. He don't see you building a relationship with Almighty God daily because you love him. You build him because you need something from him. If you didn't need him, you would still be doing the same thing you used to do. But now that you need him, you're going to pay him some attention. Yeah. So what is the main point of Philippians? The book of Philippians convey a powerful message about the secrets of contentment. Although Paul had faced severe hardships, poverty, beatings, illness, and even his current imprisonment, in every circumstance he had learned to be content. In every circumstance, Apostle Paul learned to be content. Severe hardships, because many times he may not have had a place to live. He didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He had no money, poverty. They beat him. Sometimes it was because he switched gods. He turned from wood and statues and all of that and killing the people of God. He got beatings. Sometimes he was sick. Even ended up in prison. But yet in every circumstance he had learned to be content. He wasn't screaming and kicking and crying, take me out of this, Lord. I'm ready to go, Lord. Take this trial from me. He wasn't doing that. I'm sure he got in the word in prayer. Some places he fasted so that he could make it through the trial and have the lesson, and he could share that lesson with others. Been there and done that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Had to go through. But went through thanking God. Went through telling him, Lord, give me the lesson. Come out able to share it with others. Testimony after testimony. Yeah, because if you're in God and he's really in you, there is work for us to do. But we want to do what's easy. Nothing wrong with being an usher, but we want to work in the house of the Lord where everybody is familiar. We don't want to come outside because we're afraid. Because, see, you're not sure you got what you thought you had. If you can get with a bunch of believers and you can worship God and all of this, but when you go outside, you're scared to say two words to anybody in the grocery store. Something wrong with that God that you got. You got to go back to the altar praying for strength. Praying to let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. If ever there was a time to gird up and come to God in the realness, today is that day. I promise you. Today is that day. Because of this. He's coming back looking for his church. Now, if you really want to go back with him, you need to get your work done. A lot of people went on out of here and never got their work done because they thought it was about dressing up, going to church. It was about dressing up, going to church, and serving on some auxiliary or ministry in the church. Never considered the outside. Never considered the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more labors. But Father, remember the labor that you call or chose me for, and show me what it is you would have me to do. Lord, show me what your plan and purpose was before I entered my mother's womb. If we get right there, he will show us. And if we're willing to do it, he will do it through us. It will never be you. It will always be him. But you're a willing vessel, willing to work unto him. I'm tired today, I told you. Almost overslept. Had it not been for a good alarm, I would be asleep right now. But I heard the alarm and I struggled, but I got on up. Still, they had a cup of coffee yet, drank some water and something, or a morning shake. And then sure. Yeah. And came right on to obey God. Why? He suffered. And I can't wake up. I might be a little groggy, but I can't get up and come on and do something what he said to do. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. But I pray today he will send each of us. That he will show each of us what he chose or called us to. And help us to understand. Because whatever it is, I promise you, at this late date, you already equipped. See, we sit back and we wait on the approval of man. We wait on man to equip us. But it's not man's work. How are you going to equip you for what God is going to do? If God works, we need to let God equip us. I didn't have to be ordained, but we obey the laws of the land. When God chose me, he ordained me. But we get caught up into the world and the system of the world. And yes, again, we obey the laws of the land because we're not criminals. But at the same time, we got to seek God for what is required of God. Man will tell you to do one thing because it's according to his flesh. God will tell you to do something else because it's according to his spirit. And which one you think going to win this morning? The Spirit of God will win every time. But we back to three things. We got to have faith in him. We got to trust in him. And we got to believe in him. And we got to have patience to wait on him. We got to seek him with our whole heart. Turn that TV off. Turn whatever it is off. I see grown people playing games. I said, what in the foolishness? Life is not a game. It's time for you to get in the Word. And while you're playing the game with your son or daughter, take that time and study the Bible with them. Teach them the Word of God. And instead of leaving them a game to play while you're working, leave scriptures for them to read. And I'm going to go over these scriptures with you to make sure you read them and you know what it's talking about. But we give more to the flesh than we give to the spirit. And when somebody says something about the spirit, we easily get offended because we haven't been in the spirit. We've been in the flesh. And we give more to our flesh than we do the spirit. But yet we want to raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, and make all these quotes. God going to work it out today. He already know all of this right here. Well, he does. But guess what? What are you giving him to work with for you and your family? What are you really giving him? You scared to say anything in your house. You let them play any kind of music, any kind of game, do any kind of thing they want to do in your house. And I've heard many parents say, well, I'd rather for them to do it here than to go out in the streets and do it. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Me and my house, we're going to serve God. God gave me this. We're going to keep it holy because he's holy. You can't bring your girlfriend over here and lay up with her in my house. Not, and I know it. You can't come in here and smoke weed in here. Not, and I know it. Come out, I'd rather for you to smoke it at home than in the street. Go do what you got to do because I taught you the word of God. I led you to God so that you could accept him as your Lord and Savior. I can't save you anymore. Only God can. And if you choose the world and your flesh over God, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm too busy running my own race trying to keep me with God. This is not an easy way. I'm going to say it again. This is a suffering way. And many parents are so weak and jelly-backed. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how we can't stand up for God with our own children. We letting them run the house. As for me and my house, we going to serve God. Them who don't want to serve him, you free to go, and I'll be praying for you as you go out the door. And while you're out there, I'll pray for you out there, because eventually, they going to leave down a worse way than that. They leaving there like the prodigal son, but you praying for them. You let them keep doing all this stuff and watch what happens. There'll be a knock come on that door, two kinds. Either he locked up or he dead. Either she locked up or she dead. You smoking weed with your kids? Okay. That's not training them up in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they don't depart from it. I come to tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth this morning. Because if ever there was a time to give God everything, is right now. I don't know if you remember, Brother Lou, I said when my daughter, I think I said she got 33. I wanted to say 39, but I think I said 33. God told me to watch what he do in her. Now, this heathen here was a weed smoker from a heart. And it have no shyness, shameless to tell me she smoked weed. And she told me, she said, if I don't get that weed, I'd be meaner than a junkyard dog, mama. She told me this out of her own mouth. She told me some other things about herself because she wanted prayer. She wasn't just telling me this to hurt my feelings because I'm the preacher, but she was telling me these things because she needed prayer. Just when here, when she was around 8 or 9, when I would pray for other people, this would be the person that I called at 8 or 9 years old to touch and agree with me in prayer. And when I tell you, God would move. She would lay on her face. I wasn't that kind. See, we all pray in different ways. I was the closet kind, but I didn't lay on my face in the closet. I went in and sat and talked to him. She laid on her face before God. She called me the other day, and she said, Mama, I said, yeah, I'm hearing from God. I almost took that phone and swirled it around and just throwed it across the room and just went to screaming and jumping. Saved at an early age, I led her to God. I led her to God when she was a baby, you could say. And you're going to grow up and get grown and do what you want to do. And it's like you flipping God a bird. Are you kidding me with all the weed smoking and the horn? You've got to be plain. Since I'm hearing from God. Prophesying and all of that. Yeah, the weed smoker. Yeah. This is what God taught me. Let them go. Give them to me and leave them alone. I made them for my pleasure. When you're not with them, I take care of them more than if you was with them. But you got to trust me because it's nothing you can do. You couldn't stop her. You talk to her, minister to her. She would come to you and say, I'm not coming to you as your daughter today. I'm coming to you as a sinner. Even in all of that, and you would minister to her, what happened? Did you change anything that day? My word took root in her, but and that good thing I began to do in her, I'm going to do it until she died. I'm going to fix her, but look here. You can't. You got to trust me. So I let them went on. Did what they have to do. Because, see, we don't really believe this word. We trying to protect our children in the natural. We trying to keep them. You can't. You can't. They will come to your face and hurt your feelings. Let them go. Let them go and let God cover them. He can cover them better than you ever could. But we so scared. And then they end up in big trouble anyway. Why? You didn't let them go to God and prayer. Put prayer over them, a prayer of protection. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. They coming back to him. I'm telling you, if you raise them from a childhood, they coming back. I done heard so many people say, yeah, when my mama was living, my mama was in the church, she didn't play the radio. Yeah, I was grown, but I couldn't go over there with no foolishness. Stood for God, and she was not going to give in. But when you get on the same level with your children, when you give them too much, when you let them get away with too many things, tell me what you know about your child. God knows the very intent of their hearts, and what you think you know is you don't know nothing. How many children are killing their parents? Come out, I know. People come to tell you your child undid wrong. Oh, no, I know my child. No, you don't. If you knew your child, you would have known that they was capable of going doing what these people said they did. The believers got to cover your children. Got to put a prayer of covering, protection over them. Plead the blood over them. When they come to you, talk to them about praying to God to change their situation because you can't. And stop giving them all this money and they want this and they grown and they need to come home and stop all of that. You're just making these people worse. I don't pay nobody child support. No grandchildren calling me asking me for expensive gifts. They know better. Yeah, I don't have no sons that ask me for money. Now, they may ask me to do something that they got going on. Come to a church service. I'm having a seafood festival. That's that one down there in Kissimmee. I'm doing something. Mama, you coming? And every now and then, he might call and say, well, I'm doing so and so and so. I need some support. Can you support this? I need $100 on this. But just straight up calling me, Mama, I can't pay my light bill. I can't do this. No, no, no. I told you what God is able to do. I can't do it for you because he didn't call me to do it for you. He called me to train you in the way that you should go so when you get old, you won't depart from it so you can go to him for yourself because what he give me and what he got me doing is for strangers. It's for the sake of his ministry. And folks that use this scripture here, you don't do this, you don't do that, you this and that. No, that's not what he was talking about. If you train them right, you don't have to take your house note money and get them out of jail. If you train them right, you don't have to put your house up for collateral as a bond to get them out of nowhere. Some folk call it tough love. I just call it right. And the very first time I learned this, they cut up. You check them right there. Yeah. See, we too scared. Oh, they gonna think I don't love them. I love you. I gave you tough love. I love you enough to tell you the truth and to prepare you for the world, because the world is not gonna treat you like I treat you. We moving on this morning. What was the Philippian church known for? What was they known for over there? The first Christian church in Europe was founded at Philippi, built on top of a tomb, which had become an important early Christian center following a visit to the city by Paul the Apostle in 49 CE. Lydia was notable as the first European to be baptized there, they say. Y'all remember Lydia with the purple? Yeah, I think she was one of the first ones baptized. And if you look over in Acts 16 and 11, matter of fact, let's go there and see what was going on with Lydia right quick. Well, that's it, Acts 16 and 11. Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. That's where we're going. All right. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. Wait, I thought this was Lydia. He's telling how he... But this should tell us about Lydia. Maybe we're going on down it. Okay, here we go. He's telling about the trip, how he got there. 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, this is Acts chapter 16, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, but Lydia was baptized by them, and people thought she was the leader of the church there in Philippi, and that she started it. But it was Apostle Paul, yeah, and that they was known for being, well, it don't tell me all of it here. I thought I had it all, but I guess not. Yeah. But I know that Philippian church, they had some problems. And Apostle Paul helped them out on many occasions. The next question is, who made up the Philippian church? And it says Paul. In other words, he started the church. And based on the Acts of the Apostles and the letter to the Philippians, early Christians concluded that Paul had founded their community, accompanied by Silas, by Timothy, and possibly by Luke, the author of Acts of the Apostles. Paul is believed to have preached for the first time on European soil in Philippi. Then it go back and ask the question, did Lydia start the church in Philippi? Lydia was the first convert to the Christian faith in the colonial Roman city of Philippi, located in the district of Macedonia. See, they was thinking that Lydia started the church, but she didn't, Apostle Paul. Yeah. What does Philippians 4 and 13 mean, it says? Because this is quite a popular scripture, I'm going to say. 4 and 13. tell us we can do all things through Christ. Remember that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Many people have misused Philippians 4 and 13 and taken it to mean that you can do all the things you desire through Christ. When you take this verse out of context, you would think it means doing anything you want, and that's not true. I can do all spiritual things through Christ who strengthened me. And depending on what it is, some natural things through Christ who strengthened me. You can't go working witchcraft and thinking you can do that through Christ. You can't go and cuss folks out and thinking you can do things through Christ. He's strengthening you to cuss folks out. Evil. You can't do that. It's what's holy. It's what's good. It's what's wholesome. We can do through Christ who strengthens us. Not just any and every old dirty thing you want to do. Yeah. And I didn't understand how people could think like that, but it's a known fact. Because you got church folks that work witchcraft. You got folk go to church, they say they're saved and all, but they working voodoo, black magic. Yeah, I'm telling you now. Burning candles, incense, throwing salt, shaking, what the stuff is, washing with ammonia. That's not God. That's witchcraft, voodoo, black magic. That's not of God. I don't know if y'all remember me telling you, I had a cousin and she said she was going to teach me how to make a money doll and a money altar of some kind of altar and get these money burning candles. I thought to myself, no, I won't. And this is the very last time I ever speak to you again. And during that time, I wasn't professing God like I am now. I didn't know him like I know him now. I hadn't allowed him to fully come in. I yet had that form of godliness, and I was denying the power thereof during that time. But when he came in, I knew better back then because my mom had already taught me, this is something that you don't want no part of because it's not God. God, he don't need help. He's right all by himself. It was a rare occasion I would see her anoint with olive oil or water. She went straight to the throne. Yeah, she went before Jesus to present her case before God. Yeah. So what happened to the church of Philippi? Am I getting ahead of myself here, y'all? Okay. What happened to the church of Philippi? And this is what it says happened. At the end of the 2nd century BC, Philippi became an important stop on the Via Egnatia. Okay, Egnatia. The Roman road on the Adriatic Sea to Neapolis and further to Byzantium of some smaller reconstruction. So this got like 1989, 201. So I'm thinking they must have torn that down or rebuild it for something else, the Church of Philippi, back in the day, the first church. Yeah, that Apostle Paul, God blessed him to put together for the believers. And see, we need to go back every now and then and take a look back there. Y'all look it up. The purpose of Philippians. Look it up for yourself. Look at the book of Philippians. Mm-hmm. It's going to teach us some things. And see, these are the kind of books that have me sitting up, you know, on a big rock up high looking down. I might be eating a piece of food, or I might take my lunch out there, and I'm sitting there eating me a sloppy joe, and I put cheese on it, and I'm drinking a drink with that. You know, it may be lemonade or something, but I'm enjoying the food, and I'm looking at what Apostle Paul is saying. I'm not only listening to what he's saying, I'm looking at what he's saying, and I'm looking at him being in prison, and he's writing letters to these different churches. I'm looking at him explaining clearly to them what's going on with him. After they beat him, you know, he write and let them know they beaten, and I thank God that I was beaten for his son's sake. Yeah. He went on and, you know, he found out that there was some discord in the church, division, separation, whatever you want to call it, and he wrote again to them to encourage them to come together on one accord and to love one another and let the same mind be in each other. Yeah. And to pray about everything. I see him writing another letter, and he tell them about this negative teaching and consequences. And he let them know that false prophets are out here, false teachers. In other words, he was saying the same thing G-O-D sales, J-E-S-U-S sales, B-I-B-L-E sales. Be careful. Because these people coming to sell you something that's not true, but yet they're using the name God. They're using the name Jesus. They're using the Bible. But they come to confuse you because they daddy the devil sent them. And he come but to kill, steal, and destroy. So we got to be in prayer on one accord, praying for the church to stand and for all of us to stand for Jesus. Our life is now hid in him. We're no longer our own. We were bought with a precious price, the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he told them this too. He was writing. I was up on the mountain sitting, and when I got ready to take another bite of my sloppy joe, I could see him telling them this. He commended Timothy to the church as well as to give the church a report about the health and plan. Now look, he told him to accept Timothy because he had gotten to know Timothy. He had taught Timothy, and Timothy was a good brother. He was a good fit for the things that Apostle Paul needed him to do. Go to Philippi, go to this place, do this. Hey, Philip, Timothy, when he asked him, said, well, what you need down here while you're in prison? What can we do for you? What can I do for you? He said, listen, it get cool down here in this dungeon. And damp, it's damp down here and it's cool. Bring me my cloak and bring me some more writing paper and pen. He didn't tell him, hey, go over there and get the best robe from the best pastor and tell him the apostle needed it. I love Apostle Paul. I love his writings, his teachings. He was humble. What he taught, he lived. He lived that which he taught. Yet he was the one who said this. He said he had a thorn in his side. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said at one point, the things I desire to do, I find myself not doing that. That which I don't desire to do, that's what I find myself doing. He researched himself, his heart and everything, and he found out it wasn't him, but yet sin that dwell within. We all got some coming up to do. God can use anybody. If he used a chicken, he used a whale, he used a donkey, truly he can use you. And you may have a thorn in your side. And you may be saying this, well, when God get this thorn out my side, I'm going to obey. No. Apostle Paul obeyed with the thorn. And we don't know many times why God would leave a thorn. I know what mine is, and I was surprised to see how God used it. Because we're striving daily for perfection in him. I heard the scripture when it said, I let nothing separate me from his love. So how we got the word of God, we got prayer, we got the spirit of God, but how are we waiting on God to use us to be a blessing unto his people? How are we waiting? Well, what's wrong? And I know he don't want no coward soldiers. I know God wants somebody going to stand up boldly just like Peter. Peter stood up on many occasions, but on the day of Pentecost is what I most note. Men and brethren, they said, what should we do? What should we do to be saved? Peter was the one that stood up and said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was Peter. God is looking for some Peter, some bold soldiers today. He's looking for those that's going to allow him to use. Come out your flesh. Stop thinking it's about you. Stop looking at your past and what you've seen in the past and how people stand up in the pulpit and all. Because God may not use you in that capacity. He may use you in your living room. You may end up with an office in your house, and he use you in your office. He use you in your kitchen while you at the kitchen sink. He use you at your dining room table. I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm telling what I know from myself, my experience. He has used me at the dining room table. People sitting at the table, I had to leave from cooking and come to the table and do what he would have me to do, but I knew it was not me. I'm not that smart. I don't know nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. And without him, I would be nothing. But they want folks to think it's them and it's your ability. We've heard many good preachings here. We heard these preachers bring the word. It was not them. It was the Spirit of Almighty God. It was not them. God will even show them how to line up a message and how to bring the message forth so that we can be blessed. Hallelujah. I may have to take that phone out because it just go crazy some days. But we thank God for Jesus this morning. We thank God for his word. We thank God we're not going to let the enemy win. We go back to that Philippian scripture because we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. We can stand firm on his word because he has strengthened us. We can apply his word to our everyday life because he has strengthened us. We can get the job because when we go for the interview, he'll give us what to say because he'll strengthen us. He'll even bless us how to put the words together to put it on the resume that the words jump off the paper and the interviewer understand it better than the one who wrote it. Huh? He said if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us, but we got to get there. We got to stop all of this time idling and get in the word of God. Again today, to put the games up, turn the TV off. Sometimes we rip and run and rip and run because we're trying to suppress something in us. Stop ripping and running. Take that time and study the word of God and pray. Go in that secret closet. Let God be your God. Let him be the God of your life. You're going to find more information out. You're going to come out smarter. You're going to come out wiser. You're going to know some stuff that you didn't know before. I didn't finish this study on Philippians. I yet got a ways to go. But the more I learn and the more I find out, the better I am. I found out why he was saying all of this stuff. I knew, but I didn't know all. I didn't know about, you know, him explaining because of the purpose. I didn't know about this. I understood a little bit about Lydia and the purple, but I didn't quite understand. She was one of the first believers to come, one of the first to accept and was baptized. Yeah. I'm grateful unto the Lord for his word today, for his word, not mine and no one else, but his word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Yeah, forever, oh God, that word, because we're going to need that word, is settled in heaven. And look what he did for us. He let us know we could take the word and hide it in our hearts, and it can keep us from sinning against him. I said it could if we desire to allow it to do it, but we must allow the word to keep us from sin, to keep us from doing wrong. God said, don't do it, don't do it. If he said to do it, get on it, do it. I look at the writings of Apostle Paul in Philippians. I'm looking at Philippians 2. And listen at this, listen at this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Did you hear that this morning? Because some of us, we pull in this way and we pull in that way. And I'm going to do it like this, and they did it like that over there, and I was taught to do it like this. Look, I told you I had good godly parents. I knew these people loved the Lord. I knew these people wanted God to be pleased with everything they did. They didn't cut no corners and they didn't play. I couldn't wear pants in that household. I couldn't wear sleeveless blouse. It was many different things. Because they told me to dress as becoming of holiness. We were holiness people. That's what they called them back in the day. And they tried to explain this Jesus to me. And they tried to explain how good he was. And they tried to explain he was no respecter of persons. And they tried to explain that I could go to him for anything, during any time, anywhere, in any situation. They really did their best to really teach me and to explain it to me. I saw love in that from them. I saw their love for me. But guess what? Until I taste the sea for myself, I really couldn't understand. I really couldn't get it. But when I taste the sea, hey, glory, for myself that the Lord was good. He's better than they ever could have taught. They couldn't tell me enough. There was not enough words to explain the goodness of it. There was not enough words to share the depth of his love for me. Ooh-wee. I had to taste and see for myself that he is good. I had to build a relationship with him that I could trust him, that I even could believe in him and keep the faith in him and walk with him. See, what they told me was good information, excellent information, but I had to try them for myself. And once I tried them for myself, I found this out. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I found out when your mother and your father forsake me, then he's the one that would take me up. Found out so much good information. I found out he's not what we call a fly by night. He's not here tonight and he gone tomorrow. I found this out. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He'll go with me unto the end. Hey, I feel all right right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I found this out. He's an on-time God. He get that way before you get there. And when the timing is right, he show up. I may have wanted him to come even earlier. But the timing just wasn't right. He has perfect timing. He's got perfect timing. Nobody have timing like he does. I found out he'll use a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. He'll use an animal to bless you, to work miracles in your life. He'll put you on somebody's heart. You're hungry? You don't know where your next meal coming from. He'll send somebody away from over on another side of town to come to you and say, look, I went out this morning and they was giving all this food away. And I got so much they wouldn't let me leave unless they loaded up my truck. And I thought of everybody I could think of, but the Lord put you on my heart to bring these bags of groceries to you. They done passed everything and everybody just to come to me to bring the groceries to me. Come on now. Because God put me on their heart. I was in dire straits. I needed to pay $100 for Blog Talk Radio. And all of a sudden, Sister So-and-so and a Brother So-and-so had me on their heart, had me on their mind. And they said, today I'm a blessed Evangelist Pittman. And they sent me $200. Out of clear blue sky, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know they were going to do that. I remember one time Brother Jermaine come. It was time for Blog Talk Radio to be paid, $99. He was trying to surprise me and send me $100. He was trying to send it to me without telling me he was sending it. But I was in dire straits for $100 to pay for the show. God put me on his heart. He tried to do it undercover, but God revealed it because I needed to know. I had prayed the prayer of faith, and God was answering using Jermaine, and he said, here it is right now. He done used George West Perry like that several times. He done used Angela Foote. Hey, glory. He done used many like that. He done used Sister Jerry like that, Rita like that, Anthony like that, Stena like that. Hallelujah. Yeah. I've called Brother Anthony and said, hey, Brother Anthony, can I get $50? He said, yeah, give me a few minutes or whatever. He said, yes, ma'am. In a few minutes, he done cash out me the money. Anthony was the one who taught me about cash out. I didn't know it was such a thing. That's been a while ago. But I had to taste to see that God was good for myself. I had to make up my mind to stay with him. I found out that his word hold true. In my first beginning, in my first coming out the gate with him, I found out his word was true. Call on me, I answer. Hey, glory, 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 glory. If you'll delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I found these things to be true. I found out so much about what his word said that back in the day I took for granted. I didn't understand. I didn't care to understand. I'm out here doing what pleases my flesh. I didn't know had I taken the time to know. Woo! I'd have got on this wave at an early age, and I'd have been still riding the wave. I would be further along now than I am now. Because I let him come in for real. I stopped having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. I let him fully come in. And don't let my flesh rule me, but let the spirit lead and guide me. in the way that I should go, not for my name's sake, but for his name's sake, so that his name would be glorified. Hallelujah. It's all about him. Oh, he blessed me now. Oh, he blessed me. He worked miracles. But it's all about him. The greatest gift you can have is the gift of love. And let me tell you a little bit about that gift of love. It's going to do things others would never do for you. The gift of love will come in when you're wrong. It's going to tell you about being wrong, but the gift will come in and bless you when you're wrong. If we look at John, the fourth chapter, it's going to tell us, for God is love. For God is love. How many times have he come to your rescue when you was wrong? Huh? How many times have he spared your life when you was wrong? You was doing wrong, yet he blessed you. Yet he worked a miracle in your life. He saved you. You was finna die. He stopped death. Love covers a multitude of sin. That gift of love is the greatest gift you could ever have. For God is love. You've heard me say it. Many think that gift of prophecy. Oh, I want that gift. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want it. If God give that to you, tell him thank you, because he has equipped you to handle that. To whom much is given, much is required. I want you to hear me today. You may have to give up children, that job. I know he's going to have to give you up. You're going to have to go. Did you hear me? You're going to have to go. And where the scripture says, any man be in Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, that's what's going to take over. You will no longer be you, that old you that you're used to. You won't quite do things the way you're used to, and a lot of times you won't even remember the things that you used to do and how you used to do it, because you're a new creature in Christ. And many people don't want to give themselves up. They don't want to let go of them. But I lost my mind and I took on the mind of Christ, because that old mind needed to go. It was messed up. It was evil. It wasn't no good. It couldn't help nobody. Many days it was breeding evil. When I come to him, he gave me a new mind, new heart. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto him. But we got to sell out to him with our whole heart. Let it be all about him, because you're a new creature in Christ. You let you go so that God can lead and guide. He will lead and guide you. I left here yesterday. It was cloudy and everything. I said, Lord, don't let it storm before I get back. I went on to my destination, came on back. It was cloudy, but nice and dry. No rain, no lightning, no thunder, none of that. Traffic everywhere, because I had to leave here around 3-something and got back down through here 5-something, 4-something. Traffic just bumper to bumper. I don't like that bumper to bumper traffic. It wasn't me. He just drove on up through it. Police was on the side of me. I eventually got on up the road and had to get over in front of the police. I went right on about my business. Like it was nothing. Never looked up in the mirror at him. None of that. Just drove right on. He had to even drive careful, because it was bumper to bumper traffic coming down 17. Woo! They need to widen that out. or bring us a better route. A good night, Amat. Yeah. But I thank God he's a way maker. He's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm telling you what I know. But we got to have faith in him. We got to believe in him. We got to trust him. And we got to have patience. Oh, yeah. And it's already all right today. In Jesus' name. We're going to this one right here. And I'm opening the studio a little early this morning. If you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. But y'all check out the Church of Philippi, the Church Philippians. Yeah, check out the Book of Philippians. Yeah, and it's all right. I got to go a little bit further in the book. Yeah, and it's all right in Jesus' name. I'm going to this request right here first this morning. And again, when we come back, the studio is open. If you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through, all right? Look at somebody say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, Uncle Richard, please.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't look like what I've been through. Because even before we come to God, a lot of us, we was dressed up, fixed up, pumped up, messed up. And we was going through even before we come to God. But after we came to him, he fixed it. He fixed us up. He made us look better. We don't look like what we've been through. Why don't you look like what you've been through? Because God came in. I became a new creation of his. I was born again of the water, and the Spirit of God is living in me now. So I don't look like that old what I've been through. And we should be thankful unto God this morning that he's able to fix any situation. He's able to fix us. You don't have hair. You want your hair to grow, pray. Whatever's wrong with you, you want it to change, pray. And God can take care of it for you. I'm a living witness. Yeah. Yesterday, I forgot to eat lunch. Y'all got to know, I'm about the food life. Shake for breakfast. Yeah. Go all day and forget. Because if you take that desire from you, you can do what you need to do. Yeah. And we're thankful unto him. He can do all of this for us. Yeah. And so I thank God this morning. Grateful unto him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And I'm so thankful that he can do all of this for me. I was looking back at Philippians again, chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And we want to do all of this with Jesus as well. We want to fulfill his joy and be like-minded, having the same love he has, being of one accord with him with one mind, letting this mind be in us that's also in him. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let's lift one another up. There may be times when we take care of one another. Sometimes it's through prayer because I'm not physically in the same city or state that you're in. But I'm yet taking care because I'm covering you in prayer. I'm covering you in the blood of Jesus. In verse 4 it says, look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What you're going through, I'm going through. What you're going through, I'm concerned about it. I'm talking to God about it. In verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was God, Jesus, but he took no reputation. He didn't come out saying, look at me. I got it all. I'm doing it all. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was made to look like us. He was the Son of God, and he was God because they are one. But he came in the form of a servant. He comes serving, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, teaching the truth so that men could be free from the bondage of themselves and the bondage of evil. And that 8th verse, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you hear that? Looking like a man. He was a man. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we humble ourselves, and that's what Apostle Paul was teaching and still teaching, humility. And we should think more of ourselves than we ought. In verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Because he came as a servant, he humbled himself, he stayed obedient unto God. God saw that his son deserved to be given a name which is above every name. Verse 10 says that at the saying of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We should bow to the name of Jesus. 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not just when he parted the sky, but right now we should humble ourselves and bow down to him and confess that he is Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, we got salvation and we think we something. We got salvation and we think it's just, okay, we got salvation, all right. But we should work it out with fear and trembling. We should be telling God about our problems, and especially our spiritual problems that's hindering us from following him completely. Whatever's keeping us from allowing him to be the Lord of our lives. Sometimes we holding up, procrastination. We know that we should be doing this, but we keep putting it off, but we got to come on with it. If ever there was a time to come to God in the realness and the fullness, now is that time. August the 10th, 2021 is the time for us to fully come to Almighty God. Come with fear and trembling. Come humbly. Come with a mind to obey his word. And when he speak to us, obey his voice. 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God in us that calls us to work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It should be our will. We should give our will to God. Not our will, but thy will be done. 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's one of my prayers. Lord, help me to stop murmuring. Help me to stop disputing. Help me to stop grumbling. Help me to stop complaining. Help me to stop judging. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you're my strength and you're my redeemer. Do it for me, Lord, in Jesus' name. When we find ourselves in places, we see the scripture, begin to pray for that you don't have. Begin to pray for that you're not doing. Try to focus and stay on top of it. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, We are the light of the world. We are the candle that sit on the hill that can't be hid. We don't want to bring God to shame. We want to represent him well. We don't want to say we believers, we Christians, we the people of God. I know God, but your actions show that you don't know him. We don't want to be that way. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. You see? Yeah, Timothy, God introduced him to the church, and Timothy followed the orders of the apostle according to what God gave Apostle Paul. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I don't have nobody there that's going to care about you. So I'm going to send Timothy because I know he'll care. For all seek their own, and that's so true today. Everybody's seeking what concerns them. Nobody's caring. Nobody appreciative. Nobody remember you. I got a situation. I got a case. And the person want to be delivered. The person want a better life. The person want better, but they want it a certain kind of way. And if God is not giving it to them the way that they want it, they're not hearing it. And they kind of don't want other people coming to me because there's one more case that will cut them short. They don't feel like they'll get all they need to get from me because I'm working with somebody else. I'm just telling you the truth. And the Lord is cutting things. Yeah, cutting them off for me. Uh-huh. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel, Timothy. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. As soon as I see what this court case and all this stuff going to be, then I'm going to send Timothy on over there. But his thought was he was hoping that he could come with Timothy. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. See, he was hoping that him and Timothy could come together. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Some of these people, you didn't hear their name a whole bunch of times like you hear Timothy or Silas. You didn't hear all of that. But yet, these people work behind the scenes. They didn't need to be in the limelight. It reminds me of Shantae. She worked behind the scenes to be a blessing to me so that I can be a blessing to others. Never grumbling, never complaining. Always happy to be a blessing. 26 says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. We all would have been dead. He was concerned about him, the church at Ephesus, but he got sick, and his sickness was unto death. But God had mercy on him, and Apostle Paul said, not him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Yeah. God raised him up and healed in his body. He's able to come. And when he see you, I'll be less sorrowful because I'm blessed and happy and joyful that God raised him up and he's able to come to you again. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. He was sick unto death, but he was yet willing to come and be a blessing. And he wanted not to like the service concerning me. Yeah, God is faithful. And we need to go back to these passages of scripture and take a look and remember these people and the things that they went through and then consider us. If we break a fingernail, we crying like a newborn. They didn't give us what we want on the job. We throwing temper tantrums. But look at what these people went through. Yet pressing towards God for the prize of the high call. Yet pressing on. The ways wasn't easy, especially back then, and it's the first church century. Oh, no. But they was yet willing because they loved God and they wanted to be obedient unto him. And they appreciated him sending his son. They were thankful that he sent his only begotten son. It was more than about everlasting life with them. It was more than that. It was serving right now to please God. Serving right now to please the Father. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. The flesh is a deceiver. It will deceive you. It will make you do things against God. It will cause you to work the work of iniquity. That means being against God. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said he had been trusting in that flesh. And any of you think you trust in your flesh, I was trusting mine more. Circumcision the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. See, he went on to tell you what it was. I was more trusted in my flesh than any of you. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. A Pharisee. See, he was in there. I come from this kind of stock. This is who I am. This is who my family is. I was doing it as touching the law of God. A Pharisee. Concerning zeal. I had a great zeal to do this work, and I thought I was doing it unto God. Persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See, because he had a big zeal, and they put him up, and they kind of worshipped him in a way. He had rank, and they was ranking him up higher and higher because he was doing what they wanted him to do. He was a top executive. Oh, he was about to become the president of the company. Paul said, was trusting in his flesh more than we were. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He counted as a mess. All that, ranking me up and linking me up, and Paul is a this and Paul is a that, was Saul. He was Saul during that time. Saul is a this and Saul is a that, and Saul can do this. Yeah, I count it as mess, that I may win Christ. None of that matter. Being the executive, the top executive, the top salesperson, they just keep giving me all these awards on the job. At home, they just bowing down at my feet because I bring a good income and I take care of everybody good. I got the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I'm driving the big Benz. I'm driving a Bentley. We got two or three this and that. They count it as mess that he may win Christ. Hallelujah. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what we got to understand. Okay, Sion. Jesus. Y'all keep Sister Sion dead in prayer and her family. Hallelujah, Jesus. 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, or which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what we need to do. Forget those things that are behind. Stop telling ourselves how smart we are. And press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to see your life in a whole different way. You're going to see money is not as important as you think it is. You're going to see you don't need prestige unless you got it in heaven. And if you know Jesus, you got more than prestige. You got his love, his unfailing love. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Lord, if anything is in me more than you, if I'm allowing my flesh to dwell on anything other than you, show me, God. Reveal it unto me. He said God would. He said God shall reveal it even this unto you. See, God would talk to us and tell us what's wrong, but we override the Holy Spirit. We override the Holy Ghost because we want our flesh to be pleased. We got to come out the flesh. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Looky here. Whereto we have already obtained. We already got what we need. I told you he was talking to you. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us believe God the same way. Let us have the same faith. Let us trust God the same. But many times people think they can do it. You can't change you. You can't stop you. Only God can. And if you're going to him, keep going to him. Eventually, he's going to take it away. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. I want to do what Apostle Paul did. I don't want to be Apostle Paul. I want to obey God the way he obeyed God. I want to obey God the way Stephen obeyed. I want to obey God the way Peter did, John did. For I walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're not following the teaching. They're not following the gospel. Men are building their own empires using the name of God. They let their flesh rule and reign. Who mind earthly things. Their belly, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. See, a lot of times folk do things because they're so afraid of what others going to say about them. I'm going to do it this way because I don't want nobody talking about me. I'm going to go that way because I don't want nobody talking about me. Say what you got to say about me. I'm holding on to his unchangeable hand. Yeah. My plans is to go back with him when he comes. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we say, it's in heaven. It go back to this, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let my conversation be holy, because my conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's where he dwells, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And anybody know anything about heaven, it's a holy place, it's a special place. And if my conversation is being heard there, I need my conversation to be holy. I don't need to be cussing. I don't need to be disobedient. 21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. The same Apostle Paul said he was going to show us a mystery. We all should be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now that's what he said, and that's what I believe. Hallelujah. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe I can get prayer in. And not only will God hear the prayer, I believe he'll answer it. Not only will he answer, but he'll give me the strength to do whatever it is I need. Give me the desire to change. Take the desire of this from me. When people stop doing drugs, when people stop taking alcohol, when we stop eating crazy, he took the desire. And once the desire leaves, you no longer want to do it. He took the desire of clubbing from me. He took the desire of fornication from me. He took the desire of wanting money, and no matter how I get it, he took all of that away. Now I no longer care for it like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to one more song of the morning, and we thank God today again. And I love that word. And I'm still in Philippians, and I like reading all through there. And like I said, it's like I sit up on a high mountain, and I'm looking down, and I'm seeing Apostle Paul, and I'm seeing and hearing the teachings. And then I see Timothy and those going back to the church to deliver what he said. Yeah. I see Jesus sometime in his teachings. I'm on the mount, and people all around him and the disciples, and he's teaching. And I picture myself right there. I go back and I look at the times. It's not like it is now. Now it's more evil even than it was back then. People have respect even for one another. I come on up, I even looked through the 60s after I was born, the 70s. It was losing. We was losing. But people yet had respect for the church, the preacher, the word of God. But today, they have no respect. Look like everywhere you go, there's none. People don't even have respect for themselves. Yeah, they don't have no respect for themselves. Many of them don't know they don't have respect for themselves because they just feel like it's my thing. I do what I want to do. And people screaming to them, do what you want to do. Do what make you happy. That's that flesh gonna make you happy. But where will you spend eternity? And when you stand before God, what works can you carry unto him? What respect can you show yourself unto God? When he look at you right now, what does he really see? His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get this one going. And when we come back, the studio is open.
Lord, you promised if I keep my mind on you, you keep me in perfect peace. Yes, you will.
You keep me in perfect peace.
With a sincere heart, if I call upon your name, you never turn away from me. No, no, no.
You never turn away from me.
Said you give me.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bring Sion and her family before you this morning. In the name of Jesus, and God, you know what's best for them today. And Father, I ask that you would touch the dad, God, and strengthen him. Raise him up again, if it be your will today. But Father, there's nothing too hard for you to do. And God, I ask that you would strengthen his children, strengthen his family, strengthen his wife as he's going through these things. But Lord, we know even as they say he's declining rapidly, God, we know you are able to bring him back. You made him. You know all about him. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen right now in the name of Jesus. And again, Lord, if it be your will, raise this man up again. Raise him up closed in his right mind with the use and activities of his limb, his life, his health, and his strength in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, this morning, we ask that you would bless every caller and every listener. Ask that you would move for these your people today. And Father, I ask that your word fell on good ground and that the weeds won't choke it out and God, the sun won't scorch it. But God, it would take root in your people and they will walk according to your word. They will apply this word to their daily lives. Lifting you up, God, putting nothing before you, bringing their flesh under subjection, allowing their flesh to die, Father, so you can live. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way today in the precious name of Jesus. Father, anything that's not of you, God, we ask that you would rebuke it for our sake today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask, Lord, that everything that we stand in the need of spiritually, financially, and naturally, God, that you would supply according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We ask this morning, Father, that we would be your people, an obedient people, preparing for your return, and that, God, we'll have work to carry before you, work that won't burn up, but work that will stand because it was unto you. And for you, in the name of Jesus, we ask, move today for your people in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Father, bless those that haven't come yet. Bless those that left, God. Move by your spirit again this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, you know what we need. Help us not to seek politics. Help us not to seek the news and TV and what this one's saying and that one's saying. But God, help us to seek your word in faith, in belief in you, in trust in you. And Lord, help us to have the patience to wait on you, God, because you're coming. If ever there was a time, Father, for us to draw nearer unto you, it's right now. Father, the world has become even more wickeder and wiser and is yet getting even more wickeder and wiser. We need you today. Without you, Father, we can do nothing. Bless every caller and every listener this morning, those coming through the archives, those coming through the podcast. Father, move today for all of us in the name of Jesus. You know what we all standing in need of. And Lord, even right now, finances, God, many of us want to be debt free. Even when you return, we don't want to owe no man. Move by your spirit for us today in the name of Jesus. For you said by your spirit you would go. And Lord, not only to the cross, but God, Father, to do what we need you to do. We ask this morning that Jesus, you would take our petition before the Father and ask not only that he hear, but that he would answer us this day. We know him to be a right now God in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Terry this morning and we pray for Nikki this morning. Father, have mercy. Open up their eyes to see you. Father, don't let it be a form of godliness. Don't let them talk about you and not live unto you. God, help today in the name of Jesus. Not what's hurting the flesh and not according to the flesh, but God, according to your spirit. Strengthen them today. Give them tough skin that, God, they can hear your word and obey in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. And Father, if we forgot anything, Lord, we ask that you would take it up and that you would bless our families, bless our friends near and far. There are many have jobs. God bless them on the job in the name of Jesus. Those that are seeking a job, God, I ask that you would open the right door for them, your door, and strengthen them as they get a job in the name of Jesus. Bless every giver, those that have given here, God. Move by your spirit, Lord, for these your people in a special way. Because, Lord, they desire not for themselves to just be able to come here, but they desire for others to be blessed as well. And, Father, we ask that this morning that you would help me, Lord, daily to open the doors to you. That those that desire to be saved, God, they can come and be saved in the name of Jesus. But time is winding up. And Lord, we need you today like never before. Father, we are forgetting those things that are behind us. And we are pressing forward into you. That God, you would give us the work that you would have us to do and that we would get it done in this hour. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. For there's none like you. You're more than deserving, God. If we gave you anything, Lord, it's still not enough. If we gave you everything, it would still not be enough. If we had 10,000 tongues and we began to pray with everyone, Father, it just wouldn't be enough. For you're more than. I bring Sister Rita and her family before you this morning. And Father, I ask that you would bless in a mighty way. Lord, have mercy this morning. You know what they're standing in need of. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Bring Rose Brown before you this morning. Ask that you would move for her in a mighty way. Ask that you would fix her heart this morning and regulate her mind in the name of Jesus. For Father, you know what's best for her. Bring Dorothy Goodman before you this day. Ask that you would strengthen her in you. And Lord, I ask this morning that you would show her love like you've never shown her before. Father, flower her, shower her with your love this day. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Bless Brother Anthony this morning. Lord, you know what he's standing in need of, and you know his heart's desire. Move by your spirit today in the name of Jesus. Have mercy this morning, oh God, upon all of us. Forgive us, God, for all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. We ask it this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, even as we depart this morning, bless our going out, bless our coming in, and meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't know what does it, but this morning the studio is gone again. I don't know where it's at. I can't find it. When I log into Blog Talk, it says start your show and settings, and no matter what I do, it don't bring the show back. So I am going to have to ask Blog Talk to help me with this, because I don't know what I'm doing to send the show away. You know, it just go away, I'm assuming. So we thank God this morning, and we're grateful unto him. Okay, Sion, I got your message. Okay, I thought not, but it's okay today in Jesus' name. God is able, and he's willing. He's on our side in spite of us today, and I'm thankful. Okay, Sister Jerry, you can hear me nice and clear. Everybody can, but the thing is I can't touch nothing in the studio because there's no studio to touch. I am just floating. Let me see one more thing. I got to try this morning, y'all. And see if I can get one of these posts that I posted to show. See if I can get it open. But it may open, but it may only let me hear. It may not let me operate anything in there. But I'm going in to see right now what it will allow me to do. I tell you, this is getting a little old. And I got to fix this. All right, let's see what it does here. I don't think it's going to open it up. I'd just be able, yeah, it, the only thing, wait a minute now, the only thing it's doing is it let me, the settings and start the show. All right, let's go to live and see what we can get. I can't even play a song because I can't even see the song box. Yeah. Wait a minute, y'all. I got another message over here. Okay. All right, now who is Nicole? Okay, I don't know Nicole, Sister Jerry. And if that's for Nikki, she's not here today. All right, let's see here. Yeah, this is it, and it's live. Why can't I get in there? Woo! All right, let's see. Yeah, that's live, and I got it pulled up, online call and everything. It's in there. But I can't even play a song. I'm telling you, I can't even see the song ball. Can't bring nobody in to share this morning. So I'm working on it while I'm talking. I'm working to see if I can get it right and find out what's, you know, happening here, what's blocking it and causing it to go away. Because I don't ever remember it doing this right here before. Just after so long, it just disappeared. Uh-uh. No, ma'am, and no, sir. All right, we're going to try something else. We're going to try something right quick. And I'm working to go to a song while I work on this, because we still got a little time. All right, let's see what it is. All right. Well, so good on this right here that I'm doing, but I don't know if it's going to just bring us, you know, back to where I can see the studio and all of that, but I'm going to be able to play a song this morning from over here. All right, let's see. Let us see. All right, let's try this one, y'all. Yeah.
Look, did you know there was a government-funded education grant that could deposit up to $38,000.
Amen. But some of y'all been sitting here all night. I don't know if you know what I got enough with you. I don't know what you feel like. I dare you to praise them in the midst of your vessel. And if you were sick, it'll be easy for me now when people get tired.
I know what you want to do.
Determined today. I was determined. And so I got it back and I'm coming at you right now. Sister Rita, God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you? I'm great.
Yes, I'm blessed. Can't complain today. Can't complain.
I'm blessed too. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on, girl?
Well, I don't know, Sister Rita. I just was able to get the studio back. I don't know what happened. Oh. It did it yesterday. It just disappeared. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, yes.
The enemy's trying, girl. But
yes.
Not today.
Amen.
Today's right. Not his day.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Today's not his day, and tomorrow isn't either.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We pray.
Good morning, Brother Anthony. He's always saying good morning to me. Good morning, Brother Anthony. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And, of course, good morning to everyone.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes. We're on our way right now to Kyle's first orthopedic appointment. So, you know,
okay.
We're looking for some good news. Good news.
Yes, yes. Good news today. Y'all keep Sister Rita and Kyle lifted in prayer. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the prayers. God bless
Amen.
You all.
Amen. Amen.
He's in good spirits and, you know, he's getting stronger every day and you know, we thank God that, you know, he's still with us. Because,
yes.
I know you saw the accident I sent you.
Yeah.
I'm sure too.
Yeah. I know he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, God worked a miracle.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Because Kyle was supposed to be dead and gone, Rita. No way he could have survived
ma'am.
That. No way, but God. That's some prayer, that honey.
But
that's
God.
Some prayer. Yes.
Yes,
oh, yes.
Ma'am. He stays prayed up. He stays prayed up.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And God blessed him to come out that thing. I mean, he got some injuries.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yeah, but he's not dead. Hallelujah. Where he's at, God can heal him. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Yeah, we're grateful he didn't have to have surgery. Yes, he broke his pelvis in three different areas. But the orthopedic surgeon at the hospital felt that because he's young that he might be able to just, you know, mend.
Yeah.
He just has to stay off of it for 8 weeks. So he can't wait there on his left side at all. So,
Amen.
You know, I have to carry a 6'1" man. No, I don't have to carry you. I'm just kidding.
It's okay.
No way I could carry him, but, you know, I mean, it's okay. I just feel like, you know, he's young again. When I used to be able to help him with his showers and getting him dressed and fed, it feels good.
Yes. And even if you
probably
had
not
to
him.
Yeah, even if you had to carry him, Sister Rita, guess what? He's alive and he's not dead. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. God. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. I would drag him if I have to or put him on a sled or something. But, you know, as long as he's still here and he's still breathing, you know, God saved him. It's unfortunate the way it happened. And, you know, we've been also praying for the other two people that hit him. Because he got hit twice. So we're praying for, you know, them also because we're really not sure. Yeah, because all three of the drivers went to the hospital via ambulance. And so we're not sure what their you know, ailments are or what happened with them. But all three cars were totaled. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. The only thing that I would say... as a warning to everybody, you know, the light turned green. My son went because it was his turn to go. That guy hit a red light. So the only thing I would say is give yourself a couple, 3-4 seconds, even if the people behind you are beeping, let's go, let's go. You know, if you're first in line, even if you're second in line, give yourself a couple extra 3-4 seconds. Before and look both ways before you cross that intersection, because had my son did that, he probably would have seen him. But it was, you know, that's hindsight 2020, but, you know, it is what it is. But everything happens for a reason, you know. So,
yes.
But that guy hit the red light and going over 45 miles an hour. He there was like a, you know, when you go into the intersection before you actually cross the white line, there's like some intersections have like a little bump. There's like a little bump, you know what I mean, when you get over the white line. Well, I guess this one did have one. Some do, some don't. And this one did, and the guy took a little flight, you know what I mean? So he had no traction to even press up his brakes because they weren't going to do anything. And he, you know, slammed into my son's vehicle, I mean, right in the center, and pushed him into the next lane, which is on my son's right side. And the person in that lane, unfortunately, didn't have time to stop and just crashed into him on the back. So, you know, he got double whammied. By the grace of God, he saw the truck within an instant and kept and just said, no, 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 and it was too late. The guy hit him. He says he closed his eyes, and he doesn't remember. He felt his vehicle, you know, kind of shifting. He didn't know which way. He was kind of, you know, out of it, and he passed out. He didn't even feel the car that rear-ended him. so immediately he just passed out, you know. And by the time it was all done, he was still blacked out. And he said from a distance he heard a young man, you know, calling out to him saying, "Hey, buddy, are you okay?" You know. And if it wasn't for him, my son would still be, you know, like probably passed out until whatever. So my son doesn't have any recollection after the actual impact. He doesn't have any recollection of what actually happened, which way his car went, who hit him. You know, he didn't know nothing. So I think God saved him in that, so that it just, he just, you know, just goes with the flow with it. And, you know, he had him the whole time in his hands. So we're very, very, very grateful, you know, but it just, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think God has way bigger plans than he thinks he knows. You know, as far as Kyle doesn't know. Kyle's got bigger plans for him. God has bigger plans for Kyle. I can't even think. I'm sorry, I'm driving. So, yeah. But, you know, just his mourning, I think, and it's kind of affected the entire family as far as, of course, his injuries and what have you, but as far as our driving, you know, we're very careful not to just bolt out into the intersection. You know, the sad part of it is, though, he just keeps, you know, replaying it in his head as far as what happened.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, Sister Rita, God, he does that a lot of times because you can't handle an impact like that. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying, but even the thought of it, you know, how he would keep saying that over and over, and it would do more damage than good. So God don't allow that. My friend, he was going across a bridge, and he lost control of his tractor trailer. And he said he started preparing himself to hit the water. He thought he was going to go down in the water. He said, but God told him to kick the door of the you know, the truck, kick the door. He was hitting it with his elbow so hard he messed up his elbow, but he was able to get out the truck and go down and sit down. And he said he didn't know what was going on, but when he looked back at the truck, over half of the trailer was burned, headed up to the tractor car. Yeah. And he said, he was like, my goodness. But he said when he was going through that, he was numb. He was constantly hitting that medium, that concrete block in the middle of the street, of the freeway, but he felt nothing because God allowed it. Yeah, God allowed, and he didn't see nothing. He said he didn't even see what he was doing. And God allowed that because you just really couldn't continue to go through that kind of trauma. Yeah, because it would play in your head over and over and over and over. Yeah, and it would become a great problem. So God didn't allow it, and we thank him today. We thank him. We give him glory, honor, and praise for it this day.
All the praise belongs to him. The praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm ecstatic. You know what I mean? He's got a brand new life. So, you know, the thing that we were blessed with even more so was that he used to own a 350Z when we were up in Tennessee. And he kept saying, Mom, I need to get rid of this car. I need to get rid of this car because it's hurting my back. I can't, you know, it's hurting my hips. I'm always out of, you know, because he was too big for the vehicle. You know, he's a tall man. So, and I kept saying, okay, we're going to do it. And, you know, he just kept pressing. And I'm like, you know what? One day I took him and I said, let's just go look. And the day we went to look is the day he bought that Honda Civic, 2021, first time ever that he was able to sign for a vehicle on his own with his credit. He was very proud of himself. I was proud of him. And, but, you know, that's the car that saved him, though, through this impact, because God knew this was coming. And,
yes.
You know, Because if he had the 350Z, we would have had a different turnout, I think. That's just my opinion. Because I think the guy would have just run right over him, you know?
Mm.
And
yes.
So God didn't allow that. So he said, no, let's get you a vehicle. And, you know, yeah, he lost his vehicle now, but that's okay. There's a bigger and better one coming, you know?
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
So
we're,
listen,
I have one
more caller, Sister Reed. I'm going to get Sister Jerry in right quick. And then I got
an announcement.
Yeah, I got an announcement to make. And I'm going to just mute your mic, Sister Rita. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Sister Jerry. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
Oh, yes, I understand. You know, I got hit by a tractor and trailer sitting at a red light. It felt just like something bumped me, but it total lost my brand new 2012 Ford Fusion. I got it all by myself. I was listening to her. I was like, God. He said, well, because I can show you that you can do things when you include me in your life. I won't bring nothing to destroy you. It's like I never felt anything, a little bump. Thank you, Jesus. I'm very grateful for Sister Rita's testimony this morning. It reminded me who God is. I'm grateful, Barbara, that I see you struggle to get up in the mornings, too. I mean, I don't struggle on Saturdays and Sunday. I'm up. I'm calling you by that time. But it seems like when it's time for the show to go on, thank God for my alarm clock, I'm like, no way. I just went to sleep. But I get up and I run to the restroom and I hit the button. Yes, wait. And now the devil can't make us sleep in, so he's trying to take the show away so you can't see it. No. You're doing great and mighty things with this show, and I appreciate it. You're teaching us about Saul the Paul. You're teaching us how it was, people thought it was good to kill people. They were doing God's will. God gives life and more abundantly. So I thank you for this show. I thank you for the people that come forth. Jesus in the Morning Show, it does something for me. That's all I want to say. And thanks to everybody that's listening, because there's a little nugget in there somewhere for everyone. There's something in this here show for everyone. For me, it's the learning of the Bible and hearing the great testimonies on how God will make you feel nothing when you're going through a great struggle. Thank you for your time this morning, Sister Barbara.
Amen, Sister Jerry. God bless you today. And I thank God for every caller and for every listener. And look, I'm looking for it right now. Y'all, so much be going on. I'm trying to find it. I have a GoFundMe page. And I'm getting ready to pull up the name of it right now. And the name of the page, Brother Louis, is Help Family Get a Place to Live. Help Family Get a Place to Live. And there's a $10,000 goal. And so I'm trying to, all right, let me get this. And I can send it to you here, Brother Louis. I tell you, some days, it's just amazing. All right, let's see if this is going to do it for me. All right, Brother Louis, wait a minute. I wanted the short version, but it gave me the long version. So I'm just going with the long version. All right, wait a minute, Brother Louis. I'm going to paste it in here for you. Oh, I don't know if you can open that one. Wait a minute, Brother Louis. There's a shorter version. Where is that shorter version? I tell you the truth. It's not that I'm getting so old. Oh, here it is, Brother Louis. It's just that I promise I have a lot going on and going on right now, as a matter of fact. Woo! Okay, let's try this one, Brother Louis. This is the shorter version. Okay. That's the shorter version. And listen, the name of it again is this. If you look for it on GoFundMe, it is Help Family Get a Place to Live. Yeah. Help Family Get a Place to Live. And check it out over there. And you'll even see the bronze microphone from Jesus in the Morning down there. I donated a small donation of $10 to get it started. And that bronze microphone is under my donation, Barbara Pittman. So when you see that, you know you're at the right GoFundMe page. Help Family Get a Place to Live. And if we all come together on this, we can be a blessing. And this is what we want to do, because this is what the word teaches us to do. Yeah, to be a blessing to one another. And we have to forget about ourselves many days and be a blessing to somebody else. And I know the enemy tell us, well, you don't have enough. You just got enough for yourself. You don't even have enough for you and your family. But what you do is you make a sacrifice and plant a seed. And when you plant that seed, you assign your seed. Tell God why you plant the seed. You know, Lord, I'm planting a seed to bless this GoFundMe campaign. And but, Lord, I'm also planting a seed because I need finances. I need food. I need shelter. Whatever it is, when you plant your seed, tell God what you're planting it for. Sort of have an assignment. Yeah. And then that it'll bring the harvest back to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, I wanted to share that this morning. And if you would for me, if everybody would share that link, I mean the name, with all your Facebook family and friends, yeah, let them know what's going on. And, you know, ask them what they donate. So that's what people do. They don't really give, they donate. But ask them if they'll donate to this cause. It's a worthy cause. Because when this family was able to be a blessing in many ways, it was. And now they're in dire straits. So we want to be a blessing unto them if we can. All of us, we come together, yeah, to be a blessing. And so I think I found out. Yeah, that's it, Brother Louis. It's got a picture of a wrecked car on it. That's it. Yes. Yeah. So we just, again, we thank God this morning. We give him glory, honor, and praise. And our time is about up. We got 5 minutes. And I'm posting it again to my Facebook page today and asking people to share it, share it with others. And so that, you know, those who are willing, they can do it. Yes, with your Facebook friends, with your Facebook. All right, let's go to the last song of the morning because I prayed already. Thank you, Brother Louis. I prayed already, so we're going to the last song of the morning. And after the song, I won't be coming today. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it will be Wednesday morning already. My goodness, the week went by fast. I mean, it's like it's going on about its business. Y'all pray for me today, too, and it will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am looking for Mr. Calvin's song this morning so that I can play that for him. All right, Calvin, here we go.
From Memphis, Tennessee, little small house, big family, 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like like, praise the Lord, cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it. Ooh. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole world. I'm grown, and I'm gonna take it. Ooh.